Pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Oh, man, I'm doing research right up to the very moment that we're kicking it on the air here this morning. I think I told you before, sometimes I feel like I got 17 different water hoses coming in. Courtney, I mean, they all feel good, but I'm trying to figure out which one I'm supposed to drink out of today. It's Coach Dave coming from our underground bunker here and outside the, hidden deep in the cornfields outside of Columbus, Ohio. Thanks for joining us. Got a full queue down here today. Crazy stuff's going on. I got up this morning, kind of disappointed. I thought WikiLeaks was going to release all the stuff on Hillary. In fact, Alex Jones and the Hagmans, they were going to do live broadcasts of it. I get up this morning, haven't seen anything about it, so I don't know exactly what's going on there. We'll try to tie everything together for us here today. Kind of left yesterday with a, I don't want to say hollow feeling, but kind of an empty feeling, because I felt like we were just kind of getting really to where we wanted to go. And I want to reemphasize something that I said yesterday. And I think it resonated with some people because I got some emails about it. And that's this one thought that we sure are America-focused here in America. That we think the entire condition of the world is operated on what's going on in America. That this is God's focal point. And that when things go bad in America, that means they're going bad in the rest of the world. Now, one of my strengths is not Bible prophecy in that, I'll just be honest with you. There was a time in my life it just bored me. I thought, who needs to know that stuff? I'm going to go fight. Who needs to know that stuff? I'm coming more and more of a understanding that stuff. I hate to use that term stuff, because I'm understanding prophecy a little better, why it's important. And those who have studied will say, listen, you don't find America anywhere in Bible prophecy. So I think it's important for us to come to the realization that it might be possible that the world goes on without America. The world goes on without America. But this great cosmic battle that we're having is a battle as we go back to Genesis. Can we do that real quick? Just jump back. I know you know this, but we got new viewers tuning in every day. And I just want to try to support it from Scripture. And I am in Genesis chapter 3. And after Adam and Eve were deceived, I'm going to stop just a second. Wasn't that great yesterday on Shem, Ham, and Jephthah, Japheth? Wasn't that good yesterday? Most of us have probably never even ever heard anything like that. And right there it is, right in the middle of the Bible. Thanks, Jared. Jared's got it up around. I'm looking at verse 14, Jared. And I want to show you something, because I think this is, we lose sight of this. This is Genesis chapter 3, verse 13. After Adam and Eve have fallen, God comes out and he's ticked off. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because you've done this, you are cursed above all cattle, above every beast of the field. Upon the belly shall thou go, and the dust shall thou eat all the days of thy life. Now, time out, man. Do we think he's just talking about the snakes? When he's cursing this snake, do we think he's talking about all snakes? No, I don't think so. And look what it says. He is cursed because of what you've done, and above every beast of the field, and on your belly shall you go, and the dust shall thou eat all the days of your life. Now, hang on, guys. What's dust? Remember, the Scripture says, remember, man, you're dust, and to dust you shall return. Remember when God formed man, Adam, out of the dust of the earth, and gave him, breathing in the breath of life, man became a living soul. The enemy's after the dust. The enemy is eating man. Do we see this? Very, very, in my mind, it's very clear. But look, here's what I want you to see. By the way, America isn't around yet. America isn't around. In fact, when this is written, there really isn't, doesn't seem to appear to be much of a civilized world around. We were talking about that yesterday, how fast civilization has sped in just the last 50 years with our technology. When I went from just a telephone to now a computer that they call a phone. Verse 15, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed, shall bruise their head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Now, what's the seed of the serpent? What is the seed of the serpent? I believe that to be the human race. The devil has seized the human race. And between your seed and her seed, well, what would be her seed? Well, it would be the perfect, excuse me, it would be the perfect son of God. It's birthed. And so the battle right there is the battle. And unfortunately, America's not in there. Western civilization's not in there. But Western civilization, and dare I say it, the wasps, as we've spoken about before, has been the seed of the woman. It is who the gospel of Jesus Christ has run through all across Western, all across Europe, into the United States. We call that, when I was in college way back in 1972, I hated the class, but it was called Western Civilization. I had a history class called Western Civilization. Now, I was stupid enough, I didn't even know what that meant, really, because we were living in Western Civilization, and we don't really stop and think and go back and look how this whole thing was established, Western Civilization. But if we could trace it all back, it's been miraculous how Jesus came, died on the cross, and out of that, America has been established. Western civilization was established. So we here in America, I'll never forget, I had a conversation. I'm going to show that video here in just a second, Jared. I may have shared this with you before. If not, I'm going to share it with you again. Anyway, it doesn't matter. I was having breakfast one morning with a friend of a friend of a friend and four of us at a table. And one of them was a gentleman from South Africa. South Africa. He was a black man. And we had a good breakfast, good time together. And at the conclusion of it, I'll never forget, this picture's frozen in my brain. When he was done, he said, real kindly, very, 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 very kindly. He said, gentlemen, he said, I would like to say one thing, speaking in that, I wish I could speak in that South African accent. Very, very kindly, he said, gentlemen, please, don't send my country any more American missionaries. No more. They have destroyed our people. So what do you mean? Says the gospel you preach is not the true gospel. You talked about the idea of the prosperity gospel and the name it and claim it, and how those people over there are so poor and so devastated, and we bring this prosperity gospel to them, and it's no gospel at all. I never forgot that. And they began to realize that if the gospel that we have in America does not work in the deepest, darkest recesses of Africa, it's no gospel at all. Don't ever forget that. It's not like we here in America, we're over in the deepest, darkest parts of Africa, they're in kindergarten in Christianity. But we here in America, we're in graduate school. That's not what it's like. The gospel is simple. It's a simplicity. It's a kingdom. It's not a religion. It's a kingdom. And we continually lose sight of that. And we have a tendency to do the gospel according to what we see in the papers. And we see in the papers gay marriage, homosexual marriage. We see abortion. We see men using girls' restrooms. We see now just all types of debauchery out there. And so we look at it here in Christian America and we say, wow, this must be the end of the world. Must be the end of times. Well, it could be the end of America and not be the end of times. And I think if we do not keep a broader perspective, we're going to miss it. I want to rescue Christians in America. But God doesn't need America. We're not holding the key. We are not holding the key. America is not holding the key. Other than we are the last bastage, we would think, of Christianity here in Western civilization. But if we were to be honest, our government is far from Christian. Far, 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 far from Christian. I'll prove it to you. got a video here that someone sent me or was just posted on my Facebook page. It's about 4 minutes. It's the president of Zambia. Do you guys remember about, I told the story about three months ago that I was at the abortion clinic and this girl came walking by and she did an interview with me and she told me she was from Zambia. And then when she got done with the interview, I said, well, let me ask you a couple questions. I said, do you have abortion in Zambia? She says, oh, no abortion in my country. No. So what about gay marriage? Homosexuality? Oh, no, not in my country. Zambia, we're a Christian nation, she told me. She told me Zambia. So someone sent this to me. I could be wrong, but I believe this is certainly the president of Zambia. This is modern. This happened in the last few months. The president of Zambia at this big meeting, I don't know any more about it than that. And the president of Zambia offers a prayer. I want you to listen to this. When we think we're a Christian nation, picture Barack Hussein Obama or George Bush or the other George Bush or Bill Clinton or pick your poison, pick whoever you want to, in a real Christian nation saying this prayer. It's about 4 minutes. Go ahead and play it, Jared.
Oh, God of Abraham, God of Isaac, and God of Jacob, God of those that fear your name, we beseech thee, we ask you, dear Lord, that even as I declared Zambia a Christian country, I rededicate this nation and submit it to you, that you will have your own decision and will over us. We know, God, there is no king who appoints himself. There is no one who was born president. You alone appoint and you alone remove. Glory be to your holy name. Lord, we submit ourselves to you, but we ask you of this thing, because you loved the world so much that you gave it your only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in you shall never perish, but shall have everlasting life. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty. And we shall say unto the Lord, you are our refuge and our fortress, the God in him and whom we trust. Father, we thank you. Father, we bless you. Father, we ask you to look kindly upon this nation. Look at your people. They are distraught. They are indeed distressed. They are deprived. We seek peace, dear God. Yes, the peace that cometh from you, not the peace of the world, but the peace that passeth all understanding, the peace of God. Oh, dear Lord Jesus, our Lord, I rededicate this nation as a Christian nation. I know we are at war against the devil, but the devil can never win. The devil was defeated on Calvary. Calvary brought us peace. That is the peace we shall enjoy in this nation. Father, we thank you. Father, we bless you. Father, we surrender. Whatever we have, we surrender. And I ask you that you brought me up here at such a time as this, when other men were better, they could have been here. But you brought me, Lord, in order to proclaim your name as our God. Father, I thank you. I thank you, God.
Listen to the people praying.
Father, even in these dark moments of our nation, Lord, I ask this nation to join me to proclaim Lord Jesus as our Lord, to proclaim you, God, as the ruler of this nation. We shall overcome. We shall overcome in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Unbelievable, huh? Why would the Lord even mess with us? Why would the Lord even mess with us? Why would it matter to him? This nation that we have and the way we rejected him. To hear someone really cry out like that for the Lord. We call ourselves a Christian nation. This little girl walks down the street. She says, oh, no, no abortion in my country. No, 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 no homosexuality in my country. We're a Christian nation. It's very sobering to me. Very sobering to me. That was the president. That was the president. We can't even get a pastor to cry out like that publicly. That was the president rededicating the nation to Jesus. Not to God. God bless America. Which God? Which God? Which God? Jesus said, my house shall be a house of prayer for all nations. It's his house. His house. We got a long way to go. Kevin just put that up there. We got a long way to go. We got a long way to go. And can any of us envision in our eyes, in our mind's eye, can we envision the day when a man of God would stand in the presidency again and say what we just said? I'll tell you, I can envision it, but not without a lot of calamity first. We just ain't going to transition to that. You know why? Because the heart of America is cold and dead. The heart of the American church is cold and dead. There's no repentance. There's no crying out in the American church. We have too much. What did he say about the Laodiceans who were rich, needed nothing? That's us. That's the American church. Most of us, when we hit our knees and we pray, we don't pray for revival. We don't pray that God would judge America. We don't pray for that. We pray for more stuff. Take care of my money, take care of my house, protect everything I have, Lord. There's no spirit of repentance. There's no heart in the people of God anymore. Any reason why? You think about your own child out there, folks. Your own child. When your child, I'm sitting last night, it was my granddaughter's sixth birthday yesterday. And I was sitting down yesterday on the couch at her house. We went over for a birthday party. I'm sitting on the couch, and my two little grandkids, the babies, the ones that are 18 months and 14 months, although I could have those months wrong, neither one can talk. But they love it when Grampy puts on his phone Elmo's song. You guys ever heard Elmo's song? La 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 la, Elmo's song. They love it. And they come, those two little kids come up and they sit right down beside me. And there I am with my two little grandbabies sitting on my lap fighting over Elmo's song as I'm playing it. And I'm looking around and I'm thinking, you know what? I'd do anything for these two little guys. I'd do anything for them. The love that flows out of my heart into those two little children is unspeakable. I can't even put it into words. And as their grandpa, there isn't anything I wouldn't do for. I'd forgive them of anything if they just ask for it. Now, they're not going to do it at 16 months, 18 months, but the six-year-old, she could do something that could make me mad. But if she came to me and said, Grampy, I'm so sorry, Grampy, please forgive me. Are you kidding me? A willing and contrite heart like that? Oh, my God, my heart would melt. America, that's where we are with God. And he's not going to smack us because he wants to smack us. He's going to smack us because we deserve to be smacked. That's why. And he said, listen, I gave you America. I gave you guys everything that you could ever want.
Your audio's gone.
While we're waiting for Coach, just I did a little research on Google while that video was playing, because I watched the video yesterday and then I knew what was coming. That was back in 1991, when the first democratically elected president of Zambia was that was his like inauguration day ceremony. And 1991, I don't think it was so much a rededication as a first time declaration of a intent of a nation to follow after Jesus. Because like I say, it's the first time that a democratically elected leader to that country had ever existed. End of my input.
About our Christian faith across the world, I just can't help but think of the healers. How they're healing on TV, and I want to tell them, let's go to the children's hospital and heal. And they won't.
Amen. Am I back okay?
Yeah.
Good. I'm on my phone. Hey, Jared, pull up on there. I think it says all of a sudden. I think that's the heading. All of a sudden. I'm working off my phone now. I'm getting a new computer, praise the Lord. Maybe some of this tech. Now I got to quit looking up there because I'm down here. I'm sorry. And then now I can't hardly see my screen because it's so small. But somebody sent this to me yesterday. And I'm going to read this to you. All of a sudden. Remember, guys, girls, the Lord could do a miraculous move in America. Even right now, I could still do it. Still do it. And even though we've always considered ourselves the apple of his eye, I don't know if we really are or not. It doesn't matter. But all of a sudden, throw that up on the screen there, Jared. And Weaver, can you see it? Can you see the screen, Roger? Read that for us, would you please?
It's too small on my side.
Oh, you got a little phone too. Who's got a big screen they could read that for us? Sarge, you have a big screen?
Yeah, I can read it.
Read this for us. Hang on, Sarge. This happened in 7 years. In 7 years. Now, we know that the ground had been churned up. We know that the ground had been churned up. We know that it had. This has been going on for a generation. And look what happened in 7 years. Go ahead, Sarge.
All of a sudden, 7 short years have passed. Before Obama, there was virtually no outlandish presence of Islam in America. All of a sudden, Islam is taught in schools. Christianity and the Bible are banned in schools. All of a sudden, we must allow prayer rugs everywhere and allow for Islamic prayer in schools, airports, and businesses. All of a sudden, we must stop serving pork in prisons. All of a sudden, we are inundated with lawsuits by Muslims who are offended by American culture. All of a sudden, we must allow burqas to be worn everywhere, even though you have no idea who or what is covered up under them. All of a sudden, Muslims are suing employers and refusing to do their jobs if they personally deem it conflicts with Sharia law. All of a sudden, the Attorney General of the United States vows to prosecute anyone who engages in anti-Muslim speech. All of a sudden, jihadists who engage in terrorism and openly admit they acted in the name of Islam and ISIS are emphatically declared they are not Islamic by our leaders, and or their actions are determined not to be terrorism, but other nebulous terms like workplace violence, i.e. that's what they did at Fort Hood, all the way up to the chief of staff of the army. Unbelievable. That was my comment. All of a sudden, it becomes policy that secular Middle East dictators that were benign or friendly to the West must be replaced by Islamists and the Muslim Brotherhood. And we all know that happened in Egypt. All of a sudden, our troops are withdrawn from Iraq and the Middle East, giving rise to ISIS. All of a sudden, our troops are withdrawn from Iraq and the Middle East, giving rise to ISIS. All of a sudden, America has reduced its nuclear stockpiles to 1950 levels as Obama's stated goal of a nuke-free America by the time he leaves office continues uninterrupted. All of a sudden, a deal with Iran must be made at any cost, with a pathway to nuclear weapons and hundreds of billions of dollars handed over to fund their programs. All of a sudden, America apologizes to Muslim states and sponsors of terror worldwide for acts of aggression, war, and sabotage they perpetrate against our soldiers. All of a sudden, the American Navy is diminished to 1970 pre-World War I levels of only 300 ships. The Army is at pre-1940 levels. The Air Force scraps 500 planes and plan to retire the use of the A-10 Thunderbolt close air support fighter. A further drawdown of another 40,000 military personnel is in progress. All of a sudden, half of our aircraft carriers are recalled for maintenance by Obama, rendering the Atlantic unguarded. None are in the Middle East. All of a sudden, Obama has to empty Guantanamo Bay of captured jihadists and let them loose in jihad-friendly Islamic states. He demands to close the facility. All of a sudden, America will negotiate with terrorists and trade five Taliban commanders for a deserter and jihad sympathizer. All of a sudden, there is no money for American poor, disabled veterans, jobless Americans, hungry Americans, or displaced Americans, but there is an endless money for Obama's Syrian refugee resettlement programs. All of a sudden, there is an ammunition shortage in the USA. Jared, can you scroll up? All of a sudden, the most important, okay, I lost you now. Okay, the most important thing for Obama to do after a mass shooting by two jihadists is disarm American citizens. All of a sudden, the President of the United States cannot attend the Christian funerals of a Supreme Court justice and a former First Lady because of previously seemingly unimportant commitments. Is that the last line or is there more?
That's it. Yeah, that's
okay.
It. That's it.
Wow. Huh? I'm floored just sitting here trying to read it.
It is amazing, isn't it? It is amazing. And we see, again, hey, Larry, by the way, I'm sorry I broke down a great research on that. 1991, that guy declares Zambia a Christian nation. He makes the decision to do that, right? And here we are, this great Christian nation, thinking we're a Christian nation. And whether you want to admit it or not, boys, we are being Islamicized right in our midst. Now, hey, Rich, where's the church? Where's the church? Oh, I know where they are, JR. I know where they are. They're out trying to round up the Republicans. They're out trying to get the Republicans to take control of it. We have a guy in the office. Well, any comments on that? By the way, I got the phone line open, 740-323-0871, if you want to try to buzz, get in here. 740-323-0871. I got this on. I don't even think I need this, do I? No. I'm wearing that monkey thing, and I'm talking to you on the phone. I apologize. I'm getting a brand new computer set up here. So, guys, a lot of this stuff's going to be taken care of. We pray. Comment from somebody. Rog, you're front and center.
Oh, it's hard for me to read that and to hear that and know what I know about Scripture, which is, you know, at times great, at times is not great, and not understand judgment is upon us and it's going to get worse. It's hard for me to see without some form of biblical revival judgment not being upon this nation. And the more I understand that we are but a small speck in a big ocean as a nation, there's no reason that judgment doesn't reign.
Jared, get Matthew 24 ready. So anybody else want to comment on that? Stephen, go ahead, bud.
I want to say two things. I just wanted to say that some churches I know personally are actually getting their congregation set up to approve of these Syrian refugees and telling them to, taking them and receiving them into their homes. And I mean, I know a personal church that is actually preparing people to share the love of the gospel to them. And these are the same people who are going to probably murder them.
Hey, Stephen, nothing on you personally,
but I'm getting ready to puke when I hear the word church associated with
it. What, Larry? Yeah.
Larry, at least turn your head when you barf. Will you? Don't do it on your screen there, bud.
Hey guys.
Yeah.
Hey, here's another quick thing you got to understand, at least from my perspective, is this is a perfect example of the Hegelian dialectic. You've got modern Christianity.
Hey, Kevin, explain that, because there may be people listening who don't know what the Hegelian dialectic is.
The Hegelian dialectic is a guy that was attributed to a professor in Germany named Hegel back in the 1800s. And his whole process was, which Alinsky and others have copied and put into works, is the idea of creating a thesis or a statement of fact, and then also create an antithesis statement against that. And then you do both the thesis.
Hello, bear with us a second.
The thesis and antithesis, so that you can come up with a synthesis, which is where you wanted to be, because you created the problem by creating the thesis, and then you come up with a solution set, which is antithesis, but that may be too radical for most people. But people will say, when you get to this antithesis, well, yeah, we do want that, but we don't want it as hard or as difficult as you are creating that environment.
So Kevin, the synthesis
is the solution that people will swallow. A perfect example.
So they create Black Lives Matter and then pray the government comes in to bring peace. That's
right.
The way the dialectic works.
Right. Or the 9/11 example was, we have an Islam problem, okay? And the antithesis is, well, you know, we gotta eradicate all of this. Well, that, you know, most people won't fathom that, but the synthesis is, okay, well, we'll just tighten up security and we'll create a thing called the Patriot Act or the TSA. And that's what they wanted from the beginning, because it eroded your liberties and it eroded your freedoms, because they erode that from bit by bit by bit, because they're slow and deliberate. They know the timeline and they're very slow. They don't want to just put it down your throat right off. But in this case, with what we've just discovered here with this thing this morning, is this whole idea that they will take and pit Christianity against Islam, okay? Because if you have thesis Christianity, antithesis as Islam, what is the synthesis in this environment? The synthesis is a totalitarian, authoritarian government that
no
has
more
one,
religion.
No more religion. The new religion is the Antichrist religion. That's the synthesis.
Amen, Kevin. This is good. We got a caller. Normally this would be easy because I'd have my headset on. I'm going to see if we can hear him here on our phone. Go ahead, sir.
This is Michael, Coach.
Oh, Michael.
I just wanted to say something. I think that we've got to stop looking at the paradigm of what we've had in the past when it comes to a church. What you're doing, Coach, and what you try to do is something new and different. We've got to get away from what we have been doing for such a long time, because we're getting no results from what it has been doing. And so it's like your group here and different things that you do. It's trying to get away from what has been and do something new. I think that's what God is doing, because the church, as we know it, is not doing what it has done in the past. So we've got to get a new paradigm shift. And that's what I feel the Holy Spirit is trying to do with people.
Amen, Mike. One thing, guys, think about this. First of all, we could get into a discussion, which I'm not going to. I believe I'm going to lay this out there for you. I've done it in the past. I'm going to lay it out there for you today. Again, now I want to make a point. The church is the body of Christ. It's not the bride. The church is the body of Christ. It is not the bride. And I'm going to tell you something. If Jesus is coming back for his bride, as they try to tell us, he ain't coming back for this thing in America. I can tell you that. He ain't coming back for this thing.
You're absolutely right. We got the wrong paradigm. We're looking in the wrong direction. Go back to what the scriptures really say in it and how God originally put the plan together, and get back to what is there instead of fooling around. We've got this American church. What is it? It's an empty shell, period.
Amen. Bless you, Michael. Thanks for joining us, bud.
Okay. God bless.
Okay, again, good point there from Michael. Michael Andrew is always joining us. I'm in Matthew 24. I said that, didn't I? This is so deep. This is so deep. But I'm going to try to make it shallow. Sorry to say that. I'm just going to try to read through it here. Well, maybe I can. Raj, can you read that, brother?
I'm ready.
Can you read it, Raj?
Yep.
Okay. Let's go to Matthew 24, verse 3.
As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. "Tell us," they said, "when will this happen? And what be the sign of your coming and of the end of this age?"
Okay, stop a minute. You notice they come to him privately. He's speaking just to the disciples, and he's speaking to the disciples in private. And the disciples are probably saying, hey, Jesus, these people are asking us all these questions. Can you help us out here? Can you give me a little bit more information? So Jesus says, sure, here we go. Here's what you got to look for, boys.
Jesus answered, "Watch out that no one deceives you."
Does what?
No one deceives you.
Deceives you. Deceives you. Watch how many times he says deceived in the next several chapter verses here. Go ahead.
"For many will come in my name, claiming I am the Christ, and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed."
Don't be alarmed. Hey, guys, the stuff that we're talking, the stuff that's going on, the Lord said, don't be scared. Don't be alarmed. Go ahead.
"Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom."
Uh-oh. What does that mean? Kingdom against kingdom. Seeing how we're kingdom men and we're thinking kingdom wise. See, when we hear nations, we think about nations. But when they kingdoms, wow, that's something different, isn't it? Kingdom against kingdom, the kingdom of light and the kingdom of dark. Go ahead, Rod.
"There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted."
Might be.
Yeah. No, you will be handed over to be persecuted.
Who will be? The disciples. Those are his true disciples. Will be handed over.
I'm taking notes.
I know you are. That's all right.
"Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death. And you will be hated by all nations because of me."
Well, who and why?
Hated all nations.
All nations are going to hate us. Why? Because of him.
"At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other."
Mm.
"And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold."
Wow.
"He who stands firm to the end will be saved." And this
mine says, endures to the end.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
"And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come."
What's going to be preached? What's going to be preached?
The gospel.
Nuh-uh.
This gospel.
More.
Gospel of the kingdom.
This gospel of the kingdom. Not Jesus loves you and wants to save you. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached into all the world, and then the end shall come. See, we lose sight of the fact, guys, these dudes knew their Bible. They knew their Old Testament. The people knew the Old Testament. They all knew it. Believe it or not, they probably taught it in their schools.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
Coach.
Yes.
You know, when I was there in Knoxville and attending all of those sessions and everything, several of them, there were they actually had altar calls, and several of them mentioned that, you know, the need for the gospel to go out and everything. And I, when you first mentioned gospel this morning, the Holy Spirit brought something to me. But when this came up, I have to interject this. This gospel of the kingdom spoken of in Matthew 24, if you go forward a little further in Matthew 26, and I've said this before on this program, the lady with the alabaster flask, what she did was so impressive and so penetrated Jesus's heart and God's heart that he said, wherever this gospel is preached, once again, talking about this gospel, didn't specifically link it to the gospel of the kingdom in Matthew 26, but it's still this gospel. Whatever this, what this woman did, wherever this gospel is preached, will be told. Will, not might be, not could be, will be told. And, you know, I heard all kinds of supposed gospel at that conference. And God bless all those men up there preaching. They were preaching, many of them, the way they were taught, etc. But not a one of them mentioned this lady. And therefore, I'm a mathematician. I understand Boolean logic. I understand geometry. If geometry says two things, then it has to be true. And if Jesus says this will be preached wherever this gospel is preached, and remember that Greek word for wherever also transcends time as well as position. So wherever and whenever this gospel is preached, what this lady has done will be told. So I'm just saying one more time, anybody this preaching the gospel, anybody claiming to preach the gospel that does not mention this lady is not preaching the whole gospel that Jesus wants to preach. They may be preaching part of it, but they're not preaching the whole gospel that Jesus wants to preach.
Well, Larry, I don't know if, I mean, I get your point. I don't know if I've ever preached on her. I don't know if I've ever even mentioned it. I don't know.
Hey guys,
Most people don't, because they've never seen the connection to the truth of what Jesus says and the reality of what is being taught and practiced out there. There's a disconnect. Boy, there is so much disconnect in that calling itself the church.
Amen.
Dave.
Yeah, Rod.
If you go to the verse 14, where it says, in this gospel of the kingdom, can you hear me?
Yes.
In this gospel of the kingdom. What we're saying this morning is, because at this time there is no New Testament, correct?
Right.
So the gospel of the kingdom that Jesus is referring to is what has been written to this time, being the Old Testament.
Right.
Okay. How are our pastors missing this? And why are they missing it?
Actually, Roger, the gospel of the kingdom Jesus could be talking about, and I believe is talking about there, includes the events and the things that happened during his ministry when the disciples were with him. They watched the kingdom. They were there when the kingdom was brought among men. And that's that story, that part of the reaction between or the interaction between God and man is a part of this gospel of the kingdom. Not only the written scripture from the Old Testament, but also the living scripture that the disciples were exposed to during that ministry period.
That would make sense.
When I did my presentation in Knoxville, I started out with Christianity 101, and I didn't really even get nearly where I wanted to go. But one of the things that I was trying to emphasize to the people is that this is more than salvation. We're stuck. The American church is stuck in salvation. We never get beyond salvation. We never get to the point, now that you're saved, now what? And the message that we're getting from the church is, now that you're saved, don't worry, be happy. That's the message of the church. And so we don't, because we don't have a kingdom mentality, we don't see the importance of taking this gospel to all of the world, teaching all nations, teaching them all I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always and to the end of the age. We just want to get them saved. A lot of that's the influence of Billy Graham, and his altar calls back in the 60s, that be, see, the scripture does say he who wins souls is wise. So I'm not against getting people saved, for heaven's sakes, but it is not the end all of the gospel. And I want to point out something else that I think is important. In Matthew, you don't have to go there, just trust me, because I've been over this before. In Matthew 2, when John the Baptist shows up, Matthew chapter 3, verse 1, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now Jesus shows up, Matthew 4, verse 13, and it says this, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's a kingdom message, not a salvation message. You get saved to enter the kingdom. It's not about salvation. It's about entering the kingdom. It's about coming into the kingdom. And the way you get into the kingdom is through salvation. We've got it backwards. We don't teach kingdom principles anymore. We don't. And that's why, get them saved, stack them up like cordwood, and wait for the rapture bus. That's why we're in the mess we're in my unhumble opinion. So, doubling back around in the back door, we're all focused on America. Why are we all focused on America? I get so frustrated when people go to Haiti. I just got an email, somebody's family's down there in Haiti on a mission trip. Can I ask you a question? What are you doing in Haiti? What are you doing in Haiti in the first place? You go to Broad and High Street in Columbus and give them the gospel? Okay, somebody email me and remind me to do this. I will bring you tomorrow government statistics showing the number of Christians per country. Hey, boys, there's as many Christians in Haiti, percentage-wise, as there is in America. Did you know that? Let's send them to Guatemala. Let's go down and do them. Let's go do a mission trip in Guatemala. See, don't miss this now. We want to go to Guatemala and give them the gospel because they don't have nice stuff like us. They have little huts. And they don't have cars, and they live in bad places. But they've got the gospel of the kingdom of God inside them. They've got the gospel. And so here we are in America sending out people to preach our gospel to Haiti when we ought to be preaching it in our churches in America. The churches in America are lost. The pastors in America are lost. They're preaching a different gospel. He warns us of this over and over and over. Be not deceived. We just read it. If it's possible, the very elect would be deceived. Be not deceived. Many will come and they're going to tell you this. Don't be deceived. They're going to do this. They're going to do this. Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. When's the end coming? When this gospel of the kingdom is preached into all the world, then the end will come. The gospel of the kingdom isn't even printed, isn't even preached in America. We preach the gospel of salvation. Are you saved, Brother Dave? Are you saved? Again, it's a global war, man. It's a global, global cataclysmic war that's going on around us. Hey, can I switch to something lighthearted here? Can I lighten things up a little bit? How many of you saw yesterday? I just love to muddy the water. Maybe you come back tomorrow and you want to hear more tomorrow. I want to muddy the water for you. Did you see the Drudge Report yesterday about Bill Clinton's son, his son? Did you guys see that or not? No? Of course, mainstream media didn't pick. I've known this for I don't even know how long, that supposedly Bill Clinton has a half-black son out there. Well, the kids come out now. Drudge Reporter had them on there. Mainstream media, of course, they're not going to cover it. They're not going to cover it. But I'm going to just show you how wicked the world is, okay? Hey, Jared, pull up that thing on Web Hubble. Guys, I don't know if you know this or not. There are those out there who say that Chelsea Clinton is not Bill Clinton's daughter. Have you guys heard that? Give me a thumbs up if you've heard that. You ain't ever heard that one, have you? Huh? Okay. Jared, can you click on that thing? Says Web Hubble. All I can do is show you, man. I'm not even gonna do any more than that. Is it on the screen? Because I don't see it. Do you guys have it on the screen? Because I got this little, see, I have my little phone, so I can't see it. I just got some pictures I want you to look at. Are you still there and hearing me, Jared?
Yeah, it's on YouTube. They can
see
it.
Oh, there you are. There you are. Okay, now, I don't have the capability. Can you make it a little bit bigger? Now, I'm going to tell you this. Larry Nichols, who was one of Clinton's close confidants. You ready for this? Larry Nichols says Bill Clinton was infertile, couldn't have children, and that Hillary was impregnated by Webb Hubble, who was head of the Rose Law Firm, yada, 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 yada. Now, look at that. People got mad at me. Said, Coach, you shouldn't be spreading rumors like that. Listen, this stuff's all over the place out there. It's all over the place. We won't talk about it. Hillary or Chelsea's had all kinds of plastic surgery. She doesn't even look like this anymore. Does she have Webb Hubble's big lips? Does she have Webb Hubble's big nose? No, she doesn't anymore because all that's been taken away with through plastic surgery. Jared, I don't know if you can click on any more, find any more pictures that would show them looking similar. It doesn't matter because I don't want to focus on that. Just Google it yourself. There's all kinds of images online. And when I saw it, I thought, oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. See, now Hillary's there. There's a good one. Click on that one with Hillary and Webb there, Jared. Look at that nose and those big lips. Wow. Hey, there's something crazy going on with the Clintons. There's something unbelievably crazy going on with those folks. And a little bit of humor. I thought maybe you would appreciate that as we shift gears out. Okay, Jared, you can pull that one down. So not only maybe Billy Clinton have a other son, but who knows? Now, I want you to see this one. Let's go, Jared. Let's go to how much time we have. Okay. Why they hate Trump. It's a video there, 6 minutes. This is good. I had another video I'll show tomorrow, but I want you to see something. Remember, if we are under the control of a new world order, an establishment, elite, whatever, why do they hate Donald Trump so much? What's really going on? Go ahead and play that, Jared.
The establishment elite of Washington, D.C. hate Donald Trump so badly. It really is this simple. Let me illustrate. The Muslim world is largely divided between its two largest camps of distinction, the Sunnis and the Shiites. The divide between Sunnis and Shia is the largest and oldest in the history of Islam. Both groups are card-carrying Muslims, hardcore Islamists, and they're looking for the Middle East and the world to one day be dominated by Islam and Sharia. While they most certainly have a few doctrine and ideological differences, their biggest beef with each other is determining which of the two main groups will get to be in charge of the new Islamic world they wish to create. And so they constantly fight each other and they constantly kill each other. However, if an infidel shows up in their midst, one who is not one of them, they will join forces to fight that outsider to the death. Why? Well, because there might be an outside possibility that the infidel might defeat them, and then neither of the two groups, the Sunnis or the Shias, would get to run the kingdom. Now, let's talk about establishment Republicans and Democrats. They undoubtedly have ideological and doctrine differences, but they ultimately want the very same end goal. They are each looking to build a new world order. Representatives from both groups, Republicans and Democrats, routinely use that globalist terminology of new world order for their dreams of their kingdom on earth. One used to be considered a conspiracy theorist if you pointed out this fact, but not any longer. The elitist spokespeople from the Bush family to John Kerry and everyone in between, they constantly use those terms. They've spilled the beans. They are basically two sides of the same coin. They both hold to the same religion, if you will. So what are they fighting about in Washington? Well, it's what they have always fought about. Who gets to run the show? Who gets to hold the power? They will fight each other. They will impeach each other. They will threaten each other. They will attempt to outmaneuver each other and lie to each other and cheat each other until an outsider comes along and threatens to wipe the whole slate clean and perhaps turn the whole thing back over to we the people. That prospect is unthinkable to them. It would snatch their dreams, their wealth, their power right out from underneath them. In order to prevent that from happening, they will hold their noses, compromise, and strike deals with each other to let the other side have the power for a while until they can regroup and try to retake their territory. Now, into the room steps Donald Trump, the man that Newt Gingrich said couldn't be controlled or manipulated. Newt Gingrich said Donald Trump is an outsider. He doesn't belong to the, quote, secret societies. You see, the bottom line is that Trump scares the elitists to death. He gives the establishment crowd sheer nightmares. He's not one of them. He's an infidel. He has the potential to be the exterminator. He has a different worldview. He is much more of a nationalist. They are globalist. He probably can't be bribed. He's already richer than all of them combined. He most likely can't be manipulated, blackmailed, or controlled. That is, if he doesn't allow himself to be. And listen to what Donald Trump is promising in this campaign. And remember, this is what the Washington insiders hate him for. He says he will protect our borders, build a wall if necessary. He will stop illegal immigration and refugees. He will stop the Islamists who wish to destroy us from entering into our country. He will restore America's military might and greatness. He will restore America's economic engine of greatness. He wants to return America's corporations back to the mainland. He wants to create new, good, high-paying jobs. He wants to get people off of welfare and into a viable job market. He wants to respect our Constitution, our heritage, and our Judeo-Christian heritage. And he wants to deal firmly with those who hate us, not genuflecting and cowering to them. Donald Trump probably, in other words, won't kiss the ring of the Saudi Arabian king. And for these things, the establishment in Washington hates him. Some of them are even saying, I'll vote for Hillary Clinton before I vote for Donald Trump. Really? Well, yes. Of course they would. They must. They all belong to the same religion. All two different denominations, but the same religion. See, here is who hates Donald Trump. The Washington elite and the establishment shills. The liberal media. The socialist, the communist, the entitlement mentality crowd, the racist Black Lives Matter type groups, Islamists, ISIS, globalists, the Chinese, the Russians, the anti-Israel nations and groups, those who hate Christians, those who hate America, those who hate the Constitution, those who want America's borders open to the world. These are the people that hate Trump. Now you know at least a part of what's really going on in Washington these days.
Pretty cool. So if we really believe that it's a religion, if it's a religion in Washington, D.C., oh, the plot gets thicker and thicker and thicker. See, it's against, in this aspect, those who want national sovereignty of America and the globalists. The big new world order, folks, and those who want to put America first. It ain't Republican, Democrat, it ain't conservative, it any of that stuff. It's the insider against the outsider. That's the way I see it. Anybody join in? I guess that's a no. Okay, well, hey, man. One of the things that popped out, Michael Bodell made this point over and over, Roger, when we read Matthew 24. It's funny how many of us spoke on this same thing here at the conference. But Michael made a point here that at least three different times in this verse that we just read, Jesus says, fear not, or don't be dismayed, or chill out. Three or four different times. He's saying, listen, guys, I'm showing you what's going on here. Showing you what's going on. Don't be troubled. Please don't be troubled. I'm in control. I got the whole thing going on. Don't be in trouble. Fear not. All this is surely going to come to pass, but I know it. That's why I'm telling you. So what I'm trying to encourage people to do is to see what's going on, understand what's going on, and let's go to war against it. Almost ends my call. We're getting at the end. Information scattering report doesn't do you any good if you don't run out on the field and play the game. That's the way I see it. God bless you. We'll see you all tomorrow.